Okay, let's go back then to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John 3. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Well, last time we looked at John 4, but just a quick recap. In John 3 and verse 5, John 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." So, we're looking at evangelism, so John chapter 3 is a good chapter to go to if we're dealing with someone that's religious but appears to be lost, or just someone that appears to be a good, quote, good person but lost. John 3 is a good passage to go to. Then last week we looked at John chapter 4, a good chapter to show kindness to people that maybe there's normally some prejudice and hard feelings between. In John 4 and verse 15, John 4:15. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water." Well, I guess let me back up the point I was just making here. It was in verse 9. I'm sorry. John 4, verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of what? Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." So, you know, here's a good opportunity for us to show kindness to people that may be a different nationality, may be a different skin color, may just be different in some way, that the two groups are not getting along. But we can show the kindness and love of God to them. And along with that, then in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." So this also shows us we need to bring up the matter of repentance. But we're going to center on John 5. So we've looked at John 3, a chapter dealing with a religious but lost man. John chapter 4, dealing with a woman who was living in open sin. And now, who's he going to go to? In John 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I think, isn't it a naval hospital in Maryland or Washington, D.C. area that's called Bethesda? I think it is. It was probably named right after this incident right here. But in this was a great multitude, it said, verse 3, of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. The word impotent, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, means weak, feeble, wanting strength or power. Unable by nature or by birth, or disabled by disease, to perform something. So sometimes people are born with a disability. Sometimes people suffer a disability through an accident or something that happens to them. And so that's the idea. Someone can have some impotence in some way. I knew a man in the Cedar Springs area. He had I don't remember if it was his right. No, it must have been his left arm. That was kind of withered away. He was strong in his right arm, but his left arm was kind of withered away. And my dad told me what happened to him. He was going down a country road and had his left arm out the window. It was a summer day. And he wasn't looking where he was going when he topped a hill. And somebody else was doing the same thing coming the other way. And so they sideswiped and greatly harmed his arm. So he didn't have much strength in that arm. He didn't have much use of that arm. I know another man, the church where I grew up, and he led the singing, but he always had to lead the singing like this. He could never raise his arm. And when he was just a young fella, he, I don't know if he'd been out hunting or what, but he put a shotgun down somewhere, leaned it up, and then he was off doing something, and somehow that shotgun fell over and discharged and hit him right in the shoulder. And so he could not raise his arm up very high. So sometimes people are made impotent in certain ways like that through accidents. Sometimes they might be born that way. But Jesus went to these people. That's the point in verse 3. He went to that place to reach them. And that was fulfilling a prophecy. Now, if you hold your place here, notice in Luke 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So that was fulfilling a prophecy from Isaiah. When Jesus in John chapter 5 went to this place. And you know, this scene, doesn't it remind you of the nursing home ministries? It does me. Because there's a lot of impotent people there. A lot of people, well, probably most of them there need a walker or a wheelchair. And so, you know, in their older age, they're suffering different things, which is hard for them to maneuver. So they need that. So and it just reminds me what a wonderful blessing it is to be able to go to the nursing homes. You know, the older we get, we kind of return to like our infancy as far as needing help. I mean, you know, at first when we're born, we can't even crawl, and eventually we can crawl, and eventually, Lord willing, we can walk. But the older we get, we have a harder time walking. And sometimes we may fall and have to crawl. So that's the way it goes. There's many similarities between our infancy and our elderly age. We need help. And Jesus came to the spot. John 3 is coming to a very religious man, or actually the religious man is coming to him. And John chapter 4, this woman who is living in open sin comes by and he talks to her. But now he goes to these people here. I'm thankful that we got that invitation from Hathaway Hills to open up that ministry. I think of all the elderly people. How many of you remember Scoot Carter? Yeah. Always a big smile. He loved to be there. He loved to sing. He was a song leader at his church years ago. And but he's with the Lord now. How many of you remember John Hansen? Yeah. What an encouragement he was. He invited so many people to come. And then Jim Bullard. He hasn't been gone too long. But then he was kind of the one that just kind of encouraged the other residents, tried to encourage them to come. And now it's Ken. He's the one that's trying to encourage. And sometimes he will go to the rooms and see if people are coming to church. So it's just kind of amazing, isn't it, how many people already, just since we've been going there, have passed away. A lot of them. And, you know, that's their last chance to be saved. I mean, they're up in years, and you know, many of these people that have come have actually gone to different denominations of churches, and that's one of the reasons we have such a hard time getting people out, is because that's the question they ask. You know, well, where's this church from? What kind of a church is it? I notice even on the board they just write Liberty Church. You know, they're kind of keeping it as generic as they can and sound, because they're trying to get people to come. Yeah, I've noticed that they do that. But nonetheless, some of these people, in fact, many of these people have been to different denominations of churches that no longer preach the gospel. Now, I can think of one denomination in particular that used to have fiery preachers and evangelists. And so probably when some of these elderly people were children, they might have heard the clear gospel at those churches, but pretty doubtful today. So what a wonderful opportunity it is to get the gospel to these people, many of which are impotent in the same way as these people here at this pool of Bethesda. And so what a wonderful opportunity it is for us. But, you know, sometimes it's probably like a forgotten mission field, isn't it? The nursing homes. It's kind of, you know, there's just a lot of lonely people, isn't there? There's a lot everywhere. And they need the Lord. So some of them need the Lord. Some of them need encouragement. And, you know, the older you get, too, the more the mind loses what it once had. And so these dear saints need to be reminded of the truths of God's Word. And then those who never knew God's Word need to hear it, so they have a chance to be saved. And I find it interesting that this is the third spot here that Jesus chooses to go to, a spot just like a nursing home would be, of people in great need. And so it's a good place to show compassion. This man here, verse 4, John 5, 4, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity," how long? 38 years. That's a long time, isn't it, to suffer with a problem, 38 years. But notice in verse 6, "When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." I don't know how many times this man endured that. The troubling of the pool of water, and he tried to get there and was never first. Could never make it. Jesus has compassion on this man. Verse 8, "Jesus saith unto him, Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And what? "Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath." So there are just so many people in these type of situations, like nursing homes and this type of situation, that their hope just seems to be lost. But notice a few verses with me here in Job 17. We know Job was very discouraged. He was sure he was never going to recover. He wasn't even sure why he had been born. Job 17:11. He says, "My days are past. My what? Purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart." It's easy to get to that place, isn't it? My purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. Imagine just, you know, how full of life Job was, and the wealth he had, and all the people he was helping, and suddenly it was gone. His wealth was gone, his health was gone. A man who we know from reading the book of Job, he helped people all the time. But it was all taken from him. And, you know, you think with an elderly person, You know, many times they come to that point where they can't drive anymore. They can't go whenever they want. And you know, through adulthood, you're used to that. You're used to, well, I need to run to the store, okay. Need to go here, okay. But you get to that point where you can no longer drive, and it's a huge change. That's what Job said. My purposes are broken off. Notice then in Psalm 34:18. So as we're ministering to these people, just thinking these thoughts, this is what is going through their mind. And many times they've shared it. I remember John Hansen many, many times walking down the hallway to the meeting room. He would say, I don't know why I'm here. Well, we know why he was there. He was a great encouragement to other people. And when he passed away, the lady that runs that place told me that whenever anyone was getting close to death, John was there talking to them about the Lord. So he has a great reward in heaven. But Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of what? Broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. There's a lot of broken-hearted people in these nursing homes. Broken here. Broken heart. Broken. Strong's Concordance. It means to burst, to break, to tear. A broken heart. A heart ready to burst. A contrite. Contrite spirit. Contrite means crushed. Literally to powder. That's Strong's Concordance. So a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. So these are things that elderly people face. Notice in Psalm 38:6. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am what? Feeble and sore broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. That's what happens. So many times they get put in a place and no one comes. It really doesn't matter how nice the place is if no one comes to see them, does it? You could live in a huge palace alone, but it'd be a lonely place, wouldn't it? If no one ever came and saw you, or you couldn't go anywhere and see someone else, that'd be very lonely. Notice in Psalm 69. Why are nursing home ministries not that really popular with churches? Well, one thing might be is that it's not a real great place for prospects to actually come to your church. I mean, if you're trying to get people to come to your church, these people are up in years and often die before very long. So that's not going to be too often a possibility. If it's people just looking to get more money into the church, that's probably not going to happen when they're in those places. So it really has to be a labor of love, doesn't it? It has to be a labor of love for their souls, not any personal gain out of it per se. But Psalm 69:20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to what? Take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Well, verse 21 is not funny because it's talking about the Lord and what they gave him. Bitter, the word gall means bitter. And so they gave him vinegar mingled with gall there. Just, have you ever had something really super bitter and you tasted of it and then you just couldn't get that taste out of your mouth? Well, that's what they did to Jesus on the cross. There was no way for him to get that bitter taste out of his mouth. But the reason I chuckled verse 21 is because I think of people in the nursing home. Oftentimes, they don't really appreciate the meals. And they may say, yeah, they feed me gall for my meat and my thirst. They give me vinegar to drink. And we take a lot for granted, don't we? You know, you go to your home. If you want a specific thing out of the refrigerator, you can go get it. But these people, it's not always that way. So we need to remember in prayer. Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verse 2. Psalm 147:2. So we think about going door to door, witnessing, and that's good. And we should do it. We've talked about the parade ministries, reaching when the crowd comes to town, getting the gospel to them. That's good. We should do it. The park ministries, just trying to reach the multitude that passes by. That's good. We should continue that. But there's also, following Jesus' example, a great need. Right, and those that are impotent and have physical need. Psalm 147, verse 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth who? The broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up who? The meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. So these are people that need encouragement, that need help. And then Proverbs 17:22. Now people know that our recovery many times has a great deal to do with our attitude. And Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like what? Medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And what's made in our bones? The bone marrow produces the blood cells. And if the bones dry up, then a person dies. So the nursing home ministries, it's something to think about. In evangelism, it's not talked about too much. But what a wonderful opportunity to get the gospel to people. You know, as we witness to people, we never know when someone's going to die. But when we go to a nursing home ministry, most of the time, those people, you know, have a very short span. Some of them, I think there's one lady that was there at Hathaway when we started, and she's still there, but she's the only one, isn't it? I think she's the only one. So the rest have passed away that used to come. So what a wonderful opportunity here to get the gospel to them. Notice in Acts chapter 8. As I said, some of them are from different denominations, and they have not been taught the truth. Some of them be trusting in their baptism because of the denominations they attend. So it's our chance to get this truth to them in Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, what? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So here's our chance to show people in the nursing homes that have been trusting in their baptism. Maybe they were baptized as a baby. You know what? you can't be scripturally baptized until you get saved. And so we have that opportunity to share that with them. Then on the other hand, some people are too weak and sickly in the nursing home to get baptized. But to them, we have Luke 23. We can show them Luke 23. And verse 39. Luke 23:39. Luke 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed what? Justly. So this thief was repentant. He says, what we are getting, we deserve. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, Jesus, hath done what? Nothing amiss. So this man is confessing. He's a sinner. He's confessing that Jesus has done nothing wrong, that Jesus is sinless. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, what? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now he's confessing that he believes that Jesus is going to rule and reign in a kingdom. Well, a dead man can't rule and reign. So this man is confessing that he believes Jesus is going to rise from the dead. Well, if you flip over to Romans chapter 10, that sounds pretty much like the gospel, doesn't it? Death, burial, and resurrection. And Romans 10 and verse 9. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's a good opportunity for us to show them that baptism doesn't save. But what does save? Even this man who couldn't get baptized was saved. And I guess I should have had a stay there. But in Luke 23, you turn back there just real quickly. Luke 23 and verse 43. Luke 23:43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me where? In paradise. So that, what a wonderful passage that would be to show these in a nursing home. Someone that is too sickly to even get to a place to baptize, you can show them the wonderful truths of the scripture here. So back in John chapter 5 then. So John 3, Jesus is reaching a religious leader but lost. In John chapter 4, he's reaching a woman living in open sin. In John chapter 5, he moves his evangelism to reach the weak and sickly. What an opportunity that we have these opportunities to go to these places. But then notice what he says to him in verse 14. Let's go to verse 10. John 5:10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away a multitude being in that place. So this man didn't even know that this was Jesus. Verse 14, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Then what does he tell him? Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Remember how long he'd been sick? 38 years. Jesus warns him here, and here again is the matter of repentance. It's not just a change of mind, it's a change of life. Jesus told him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Jesus was putting the fear of God in this man. So what we realize is that this man was healed physically, but at that moment in time, he was not healed spiritually. He didn't even know who healed him. And so in the temple, Jesus finds him and teaches him who he is and this matter of repentance. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And you know what? We have the same opportunity. There's so many opportunities for evangelism, but let's not forget the impotent. Those that are suffering all kinds of physical needs. Let's make sure that we continue to use those opportunities to reach the lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities you've given to us. Hathaway, Green Acres, and Extended Care. And Father, we just thank you for these opportunities to be there for these people. And for many of them, it's their last opportunity to hear the gospel, the last chance. And then for those that are saved, so many times, no one from their church comes to get them, to take them to their church. I think of one of the ladies that so often tells us there, I miss my church, I miss my church. And she can still walk, but no one comes to get her. And Lord, please help us to be that encouragement to these folks that are saved, that you still do care about them. And may we be a comfort and an encouragement to them, along with the wonderful evangelistic opportunity to reach those who've never heard the true gospel, or those who have put it off. Lord, may they put it off no longer. We thank you for these opportunities in Jesus' name. Amen.